Psalm 119, 165. Got your Bible? Please open. If you don't have your Bible, how do you know that I'm reading from the Bible? Psalm 119, 165 says this: Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you ever get offended?
Yes.
All right, watch me. Please watch me and listen. If we get offended, it's a good indication that we're not loving His law. We're not loving His truth. We're not loving the light. We're not loving Jesus at that moment. Okay? Remember this saying: God will often offend our mind to reveal what's in our hearts. God will often offend your mind to reveal what's really in your heart. So let's say that we get offended. I remember we had one of the first services when we started here close to 8, 9 years ago, whatever it was, nine, something, whatever. God bless you. Around August, I think it'll be nine. And in the beginning, when we started this, God would have me say, okay, as the leader, Harvey, I want you to invite me, welcome me, and then turn the service over to me as the leader, and then stand still and don't move until I tell you what to do. And I said, okay. So I remember one of the first services, I was standing here for about an hour like this. This was church. Everybody's sitting here. I said, do y'all want to know what God wants to do? Because if you got a formula, you can go find a formula somewhere else. But if we want to find out what God's doing, if we're going to be on the cutting edge of what He's up to, imagine this is His house, His day, His people, His word, His spirit. You got a feeling it's about Him? Then let's let Him be in charge. And so I said, we're going to invite Him. And I said, now you ask Him what He wants to do, because we're not moving until He tells us what to do. And we just stood here. And I remember we were in the other building. Pastor Glenn, he wasn't pastor then. And he was sitting right about here, about where she is, in my mind, from where I was standing. We were standing here. And all these little kids, little Carson, Jackson, and the other guy, Daniel, they were all about 2 years old. They came running forward, little Daniel, you know, Michelin tire poster child. He came running down the aisle, and he ran into me, boom, and I started backing up. And God said to me, you can back up all over the auditorium if you want. He said, but I want you to lay down. I had him run into you for you to lay down. And I'm like, okay. So I laid down. All three of those little kids jumped on me, started crawling around on me like ants. And if you'll remember, and the mothers come, ah, they freaked out. You're crawling on the pastor. You can't do that. They came running up, and my wife came to grab our grandson, and God said, tell her, this is me. And I said, Sue, this is God. She said, I said, don't touch him. She said, okay. She turned around and walked away. And I told all the other mothers, this is God. Leave the kids alone. Do y'all remember that? I remember it. Just like it was. I know you were two. Okay? So, Pastor Glenn later told me, a year or whatever it was later, I don't remember how much longer, he said, I got so offended by those kids crawling around on you. They went and got flags and were running around. He said, I was so offended. And I said, why did you get offended? He said, I asked God, God, why did I get offended? And God said to him, because when you were a little boy, your mom and dad used to make you sit between them, and they would hit you if you moved or pinch you. And these kids have freedom, and you don't have freedom. That's why you're offended. And he said, God, please forgive me. Would you? But it took an hour of God working in him to bring him to this truth. And then he agreed with it and said, God, I want you to get that out of me. And he said he got to where God dealt in his heart so much, he actually was blessed by the kids running around acting like little banshees. Okay? Now, what I'm saying to you is this. We get offended by things. When we get offended, Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing. Do you know what the word nothing means? It means no thing. Nothing shall offend them. Jesus doesn't get offended hardly about anything, if anything. But people did all kinds of things to offend him. But he didn't get offended. You know what he got? Hurt. Aggrieved. Sad. Felt mercy, compassion, empathy, pity for somebody. He didn't get offended. When we get offended, then what we need to do is we need to say, God, what is offending me? Why am I offended? What is in my heart that's being touched? And then tell God, I want to see my sin. I want to see my sin. I don't want this in me. And then God will bring something to your surface, the surface of your attention, for you to deal with, for you to see it. And now you see it and say, God, I want to see that through your eyes. Because at first, look at me, we're pointing at somebody, like I'm pointing at Larry. Larry, you offended me. But if you look at my hand, I've only got one finger pointing at him. I got three fingers pointing at me. Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5 says, take a good look at yourself and get the telephone pole out of your eye before you worry about the little toothpick that's in his eye. But in the beginning, when we get offended, we think it's all them. But it's only because they touch something that's inside of us. Because if it wasn't in us, how come I didn't get offended when you got offended? Because it wasn't in me. Do you understand? How come I got offended when you didn't get offended? Because there was something in me that was being touched. Are you with me? Do you hear me? Do you want to be changed or did you come to get entertained? Changed? Okay, that's what we're talking about. Changed. Okay? So, God, why am I offended? What's offending me? What's in my heart? And I want to see my sin. I want to see it through your eyes because I want to, when it's brought to the surface, I want to see it's there. I want to see what's wrong in me. What I've been agreeing with, thinking that everybody else was wrong. Okay? And God, I want to break agreement with that. Get rid of that. I want you to come live in me. I only want Jesus living in me. Amen? Right now, God is dealing with me about sin. He's dealing with me about pride. And another layer of pride. He's been dealing with me about pride for years. And right now, he's dealing with me about being conceited, thinking high of myself or thinking low of others. Okay? Now, I don't play games. You already know that. Okay? It's not about playing games. If we want to get delivered from something, is there something that you keep asking God to forgive you, but you find yourself constantly keep repeating the same sin? Do you find that in your life? Do you find yourself being like you feel like you're captive? You feel like you feel hopeless sometimes? You feel like, I'm never going to quit doing this? Would you like deliverance? Okay, just for the three that raised their hand. Oh, there was four. Is there anybody else that wanted that? Let's see. I'll give you a chance again. Anybody want to get delivered of that? Let me just hold your hands up high so I can see them. Make sure. Okay, because those that don't hold your hands up, you don't want to get delivered. That's fine. You can stay there. I'm just talking about the ones that do. Okay, you ready? All right, here we go. See, I'm just messing with you. Don't worry. I'm not the main speaker. I'm just messing with you to help you. Okay, when we have sin, you might want to write some of this stuff down. It will help you. Okay? When we have sin, number one, we need to admit it. If you're offended, that's why I brought up the thing about being offended. Somebody get this thing out of the way. If you're offended, why am I offended? If you're mad at somebody, why am I mad? You know, you made me. They didn't make you do anything. They just touched what was already inside of you. Do you hear me? I just had somebody criticize me the other day. Where was I? Somewhere. Somebody criticized me. I was sitting there listening to it. And my wife went to say something about it. And I said, our critics are the unpaid guardians of our soul. I'm thankful they criticized me. I said, they're seeing something I don't see. See, when we see our sin, we're the last ones to see it. You got a clue? Everybody else in the world has seen it. We're the last ones to see it. Oh, I just now see my sin. It's finally. I've been praying for 10 years for you to see it. You know, I'm tired of getting beat up with it. I'm sorry. Let's get real. Let's don't play the little nice game. Okay, let's get real. So if we want to get delivered, here's how we're going to get delivered. Number one, we admit our sin. Okay? We admit it. It's there. We need to confess it before others. See, the reason I confess is because I've learned this principle. Public confession, public power or deliverance. When you want to like confess your sin but keep it secret, God, I remember Sue years ago told me one time, she said, I'm praying that God won't let anybody see my sin. I said, Sue, everybody else already sees it. You're going to be the last one to see it. I said, you're just doing that? I said, that's the opposite of humility. And I don't know if I said all those words to her, but those are what I was thinking, because when I heard her say that, it made me get more honest. Okay? It was like, no, I don't want everybody to not see my sin. I want to see it like everybody else is seeing it. Do you get what I'm saying? Number one, admit our sin. Number two, confess it. Confess it to yourself. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. This church is going to be different than any church I've ever been in, because we're not going to play the game. We're not going to all try to be our own little do what's right and try to become good little Christians for God. We are going to live openly, honest, vulnerable, transparent, okay? And then when we see each other's sin, I'm going to love her so much that I want to get her delivered from that sin, so I'm going to pray for her instead of talking to everybody else about her. Amen. Admit our sin. Okay, you need a verse, James 5:16, 1 John 1:9. Confess our sin before others. Before others. Number three, break agreement. See, let me tell you. One time somebody lied to me. And then they came back to me in a very short time, broken and crying and saying, I lied to you, but I don't want to lie to you. So I want to tell you that I lied to you. And God showed me that because that person came to me and said, I lied to you, they were real. They were honest. They wanted deliverance. And God said, they're going to get deliverance because guess what? They came and told you they did it. Now the next time they have a temptation to lie to you, they're like, oh no, I don't want to go through that process again of having to go and confess it to be right with God. Are you following what I'm saying? Is this like too much for you right at the beginning of the service? No. You'll need some like dance or something? Okay, now can you hear it? Okay, here we go. That was humor. Okay, don't worry. Okay, admit our sin, confess it before others, break agreement with the sin. I don't want this sin in my life. I'm breaking agreement with it. James 4:7-8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. God is bigger than the boogeyman. Jesus is light. That sin is darkness. Jesus is freedom, and that sin is bondage. You break agreement with the bondage, the lie, the darkness, and you turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I only want you. Would you come deliver me? He's like, da-da-da-da. I'm here. I'm going to take care of it for you. You got it? He's going to come Jesus you. He's going to come deliver you. He's going to come rescue you. Somebody get excited. Oh, I'm excited. Jesus is going to do this. Are you excited? Huh? Could this help? Okay. Break agreement. Committed unto God for change and repentance. God, I can't do it. I need you to do it for me. He's like, good. I'm tired of you playing religion and you trying to do it for me. He said, I don't need reformation. I don't need you to try to straighten up or cover over what you're doing. I need you to admit where you are, because Colossians 2:6 says the same way you get saved is the same way you're going to live. And the way we get saved is we come to a place where we realize I can't rescue myself. I need you to die on the cross for me. How do we live? Jesus, I can't get rid of this sin. I keep repeating it. I need you to come deliver me. And he's like, okay, here's the process. I'm going to bubble it to the surface. I'm going to bring it to the surface. I'm going to put people in your life like Harvey that's going to irritate you and bring it to the surface. And now that it's on the surface, Now let's deal with it. Now that you can see it, it's in the light. Let's deal with it. Now you confess it. God, that's in me, but I don't want it in me. You break agreement. I don't want this living in me. I choose to let God live in me. God, come do that work inside of me. And He begins to deliver you. He, as you pull out that sin, as you ask Him, please pull out that sin of lying or anger or whatever it is, then Jesus, 1 John 1:9, He pours in the blood of forgiveness, which deals with your past and your defiled conscience. Then He pours in the blood of cleansing, which deals with your present and your future, because He's going to begin to take away the influence of that sin in your life. But you've got to admit it, confess it. I want to see it completely. No hiding. Complete openness, honesty. Okay? Committed unto God for change and repentance. And then, here's a key. Ask Father, what else do I need to see? Because maybe you're only seeing a little bit. When God showed me about conceit in myself, yesterday, I've been praying about this for a week or whatever. Yesterday I was praying and He had me looking in the Word and He showed me that when I receive glory or praise or credit or people esteem me, that I'm actually stealing God's glory. And when He showed me that yesterday, it just was like breaking my heart, because I don't want to steal His glory. So there's layers of our sin. When you first see it, you're only seeing it, you've never seen it before. But God wants to take you deeper, 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 deeper. Get it all out. You want it all out? You want all of Jesus or just a little patchwork Jesus? We're going to put on a shirt of Jesus, or we're going to put on the garment, the whole robe, the undergarments of Jesus? Ask Father what else I need to see. What other truths or sin am I blinded to, Lord?
Just two things I want to mention, because there's another step. Because a lot of us have done everything that He has said and still keep being plagued with the same thing. And you actually go, I'm doing everything He said, and I still don't get victory. But there is the step of obedience, and that's where grace comes. We have to cooperate with our deliverance. So we know sometimes there's that little thought of the Holy Spirit right at that moment, and we ignore it. But if we don't ignore it, that's our cooperating as He's delivering us. He gives a step. I mean, take something real serious, like doing heroin. Let's say the temptation is on you, and you just, there's the needle, there's the drug, and you want it so bad. And then the Holy Spirit is saying something simple, like, go drink a full glass of water first. You know, and we're going, I don't want the water, I want the drug. And we just grab the drug. You don't get delivered. But if you would drink that full glass of water, as silly as it sounds, grace would come on you. The power of God, the ability to resist would come. So there is our cooperating as He leads us into our deliverance. But we have to hear that small voice of the Spirit and do what He's leading us to do. That's resisting the temptation when it comes. I also wanted to mention, because I know you agree with this, the Bible has things to say about the offenders too.
Yep.
And if we are offended, sometimes we cannot help that we're offended.
Right.
And we pray and try. We can't lay it down. And that's when we are responsible to go in a godly spirit and confront.
After we've prayed, after we've asked God, all that.
So we do frequently need to go and confront the person.
Yep.
You know, so that God can also bring it to their attention not to be an offender.
Yep.